right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn, and we ended a Good Friday on Matthew 27. Let me see your Bibles this morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, we're glad you're here. But let me see your Bibles. We bring Bibles here at this church, this community. We bring our Bibles because we read out of the Bible. I don't preach opinion. It's not doesn't matter about my opinion. It doesn't matter what I think. It only matters what he thinks. It doesn't matter what my emotions are, how I feel about it. If it's written in the word, then that's how we live. The Bible says that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is what God has called, how he has called us to live. And so, therefore, we read out of the scriptures. And I ended in Matthew 27, where he took guard over the tomb. And now we're going to read in Matthew 28, starting at verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you in Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Now, think about that for a minute. They went with fear and great joy at the same time, because this is great that this is happening. Fear and great joy. I mean, that's amazing. Simply because of one version says, for fear, and then it said they were trembling. The truth is that it actually happened. And that's why it's amazing. And so they went quickly to him with great fear and joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. I'm telling you what, it is amazing that he is alive. That's the absolute, the truth and the crux and the crescendo of our faith is the fact that Jesus came out of the tomb, that he was raised from the dead. Everything rises and falls on the fact that he came out of the tomb. It crescendos out of that. The fact that the hinge point of our faith has to do with the absolute victory over death, hell, and the grave. And not only was he raised from the dead, but the Bible says that he snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and therefore he reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the reigning champion. There's no one before him. There'll be no one after him. He is all complete reigning, all power, all dominion, all might. All of it belongs to him. And he is still King of Kings and still Lord of Lords. They can't cheat on the ballots on this one. All the votes have been cast. And we know that God is reigning supreme over heaven and earth. He is God over the cosmos. There's nobody else that can handle that. The grave couldn't keep him. Hell couldn't keep him. Satan couldn't keep him. The truth is that he broke free and he has all power and dominion and he reigns forevermore. That's my king. That's the king that I serve. That's the king that we're celebrating today. That's the king that I know. And that's the king that you should know because he reigns forevermore. I'm saying there's nobody like that king. I'm saying they've had some kings. They've had some good kings. They've had some bad kings. They hadn't had a king like ours because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And so that's everything hinges on that. That's why we celebrate Easter. And the world doesn't. They don't understand it. They'd be like, why would you celebrate this? Why are you happy? Why all this ruckus? Because if you would have known where I came from, if you would have known that I was lost in my sin, on my way to hell, I was destitute in my mind. I didn't have anywhere else to go. Anybody else that was lost? If you ever been in a place where you've been lost and then now you're found, that's why there is amazing grace that comes from him. that knows that I could have, I was telling Pastor Kevin this this past week, I don't know where I'd be if it had not been for the Lord. Anybody, I hate to think where I would be if it had not been for the Lord. I'm telling you, I shiver sometimes, like, ooh, you know what I'm saying? I don't know where I'd be. I don't know the life that I would live, but I do know this, that I know him. And I'm asking you this morning, do you know him? Do you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you know the one that came out of the tomb? Because he came out with all power. Amen? And so we're going to read about here in 1 Corinthians chapter, we'll read 1 Corinthians here in just a minute, chapter 15. And I want us to pray together. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word, that your word is amazing. Lord, it's alive, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul asunder. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature, Lord, that is in your sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. Let it cut today anything that is excess. Cut to the heart today and help us to see you for who you are through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ever since I can remember, I don't know if there's been a time that I've missed an Easter service. And some of you guys, it's okay, I'm glad you're here, but some of you guys I haven't seen since last Easter's. I haven't seen some, so it's good to see some of you. That's not a dig, it kind of is. But anyway, y'all come back now, you hear? And so, but I don't remember missing an Easter service because it was so important. And I would have my pastors, because I've been through a lot of different denominations. Vanessa came out of the Catholic background, and she got saved at a vineyard church in New Hampshire. For you guys that don't know, Vanessa is from New Hampshire, and I'm from Arkansas. That had to be the Lord. I'll just tell you that right now. How does that work out? You know what I'm saying? He's got to be the Lord bringing people together. Anyway, so the truth is that, you know, she came out of Catholic. I came out of Baptist, Church of God in Christ, Assembly of God. I'm telling you, I was a spiritual mutt. I'm just weaving my way through the, just like, where are we going today? We're going to Church of God in Christ. Okay. Wow. And then where are we going today? We're going to Assembly of God. Anyway, we were moving our way through the deal. But every pastor, as I was a kid, got up and talked about he was crucified. And not only was he crucified and he died and they put him in the tomb. And then on the third day, you know, on the third day, he came out of the tomb. And it was just like, ah! And there would always be that lady in the back that would yell, ah! It was like, oh, somebody's pinching that lady back there. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. There's something going on back there. Somebody, ushers, go help that lady. You know, and there would be that every Sunday, every not only did they preach on Easter, they preached it every Sunday. But it wasn't until I got older that I realized the reason why. It's like, what is the importance of the fact that Jesus coming out of the tomb? What does that mean for us? Because if we don't realize what it means, then why are we here? We're just meeting just to be meeting. If Jesus did not come out of the tomb, if he did not defeat death, hell, and the grave, then why are we meeting? Then why are we Christians? Why are we followers of Jesus if he didn't come out of the tomb? But he did come out of the tomb. And so we would, and I would, when I was a kid, we had Easter just because I was looking forward to the Easter egg hunts, right? We're going to have one here after this service. But I came from a background, just tell you, I came from a deal where we had real eggs, right? You might raise your hand if you were when they did real eggs. My mother in on Saturday night with that dye and that spoon. Can I get a witness? Yeah. She clapping on the front row. She know what I'm talking about. I got the spoon in there, and then the green and the pink and everybody. It was just a seed bed for salmonella. It was just a seed bed. People get salmonella poison. That's just everybody thinking about it right now. Anyway, the truth is, that's what we would do. Every Easter, it was anyway, I don't know if I'll finish this message. I'd eat eggs till I had them coming out of my ears. I'm just saying. Dad, eat it. My dad would take them for lunch. He'd be in that big old lunch bag. And then on lunchtime, he'd pull out yellow and pink and on little blue eggs. It's hard to look manly when you're at the paper mill. It's lunchtime. Woo, woo. And then all of a sudden, you're peeling in a pink egg. You know, that was my father. That's what he was doing. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's Easter time. And they'd be laughing at him. You know what I'm saying? He had to build his self-confidence up just to go to work the next day. But the truth is, that's what I came out of. But the significance of Easter had to be at the forefront because Paul, the Apostle Paul, dealing with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's dealing with a community, a church community, who believed, and some of them didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe, they believed in Jesus. They called themselves Christians, but they were talking about that there was no resurrection for Jesus out of the tomb. And I'm telling you what, and so he addresses that. Now, before we read it, I want to tell you this. The church is dealing with that right now. The church is dealing with the fact that there are people who believe, who hold Jesus at a high esteem. Muslims believe that he was a prophet. They believe that he was a good man. Even Buddhists, they believe that he was a good man, but they don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And there's people, maybe you're here this morning and you're just like, well, I don't know if that happened. Well, Jesus raised other people from the dead. The significant thing that Jesus raised other people from the dead is that those people died again. Jesus died and he rose and he didn't die again. It is forever settled in heaven. He is. I mean, he came out of the tomb and it was over with. You understand? I mean, and I love this, what we just got through reading. He came, ta-da, and then he caught him on the trail on the way back. Ta-da, again. Just to let him know that it's for real. It is finished. It is done. It is complete. The work is finished. And I am here and I am alive. And so he, I love that. He breaks in. I think Christians believe, put Jesus in the little jack in the box. You guys remember the little jack in the box? You know what I'm saying? And they put him back in there until the next Sunday. It's the truth. He's out. He's done. It's done. The power is all his. The power of the resurrection is yours too. How do you know that, Pastor Chris? Because he says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and quickens my mortal body. And so because of that, I have the same power. And in a different problem, he said, the same spirit, the same power that raised him from the dead quickens my mortal body. Amen? So he's dealing with that. And one of the things that the church is dealing with is secular humanism. Secular humanism says that if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't taste it, if I can't smell it, if I can't experience it, then it didn't happen. That's what the church is dealing with. So you got people, especially young people, they're just like, what's the big deal about the resurrection? Well, yeah, we'll associate with it, but I don't know about their resurrection there because I didn't see it. I don't know. Paul is addressing that, and it's today what we're dealing with in the church world, on the outside world, trying to come in because the world is trying to creep into the church. I know I only got amen and come on over here, but the world is trying to creep into the church. Amen. We're not called to look like the world. We're not called to look like the world. Amen. Amen? He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. There's a separation. Amen? There's a separation. What I mean by that is like, are you trying to cause division? No. Not trying to cause division. I'm saying that you can come on over. You can come out of that darkness and into his light. I'm telling you what, I got saved at age 8 and I love it. I love my salvation. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. And if you do want to know that I'm not perfect, don't ask Vanessa, because she will let you know that I'm not. I'm not perfect. I got issues and things going on, but I have come a long way. And I'm not exactly where I'm going to be, but I'm on a journey with Jesus. And as long as I'm on that journey and he's walking with me and I'm walking with him because I'm in Christ, because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away and behold, the new has come. I'm telling you what, every day I wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And God has called me today. He has picked me up out of the ground, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock. I'm blessed today. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed going going in and going out. He has blessed me. Not only that, he's given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. I have the mind of Christ. I can do what he says I can do. Yeah, if the world can be against me, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I know that I can face anything. I can face tomorrow because he lives. Amen? So let's dive into it. What is Paul talking about here? And so we start here at verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved." Another version talks about you are being saved. Another version says that, in which you are being saved. And Gerald talks about the tenses of salvation. He's one of our elders. Talk about the tenses of salvation, saying that you are saved, but you also are being saved. Because you're like, well, I thought I was saved. We are saved, but we are being saved because as we walk with Christ, as we walk with him, he is changing us from the inside out. Amen? My mind is being saved. My feelings, my emotions, and all the things that need to line up with the word are being saved. That's the tenses of salvation. So he's saying this, that you are saved. "If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." He goes, if you hold fast to the word I first preached to you, and the gospel, he talks about the gospel which I preached to you, then you are being saved. "For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received." Now, some of your Bible says first importance. Raise your hand if your Bible says first importance. First, okay, if it says that, this is what it means. It is the top priority. What I'm about to tell you is top priority, and you need to listen to it. "I deliver you first of all, which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of time." So some of your versions say this is wrong. When I read scripture, just so you know, this is a by the way. I'll throw these in there from time to time. When I read scripture, I don't read it just in one version. When I study scripture, and I'm not just saying I do this for a message, I do this all the time. I try to get every look that I can for the scriptures. Amen? I heard that there's a millennial version out now. What is it called? Gen Z or something version. Yeah, it's called No Cap or whatever. I don't know what we're talking about. But I try to look at all the different. So it should be born out of time. So look, you need to do that sometimes. I even sometimes look at the Message Bible. I look at all of them. And so I want to get the best look that I can. And then verse 9 says, "For I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Now, here's how he goes into it. This is what I love this. Now, let's bury in right here, because now he's coming into this. That was the introduction. Now he's going to break it down. He goes, "Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If, in fact, the dead do not rise..." He says, "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins!" Exclamation point. "Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men to be most pitiable." And now let's stop there for a second. Here's what Paul is doing right here, and then I'm going to go into what he says. Paul is going into three different aspects of resurrection. He's trying to appeal to them, saying, this is the authority of Scripture. Well, how do you know that? Because he says it right here in verse 5. He starts with the authority of Scripture. Sorry, not verse 5, verse 3. He says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. He's going on basis of the authority of Scripture. And I just want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that if you're living your life, there has got to be a final authority in your life, and it needs to be the authority of the Scriptures. It has to be the authority. Who has a final authority in your life? Who has power of attorney in your life? People try to find out, like, they're trying to find out who has power of authority. Who has authority here? Like, how do you base your decisions on how you live? Is it by your emotions? Is it by what you feel or what you think? I'm gonna go ahead and tell you right now. I said this before, I'll say it again. I don't trust myself. You know why? Because I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy. Vanessa knows I'm crazy. A lot of people, my friends, know I'm crazy. I don't trust myself because my emotions can tell me one thing, but all of a sudden God be saying something else. My friends could even be telling me one thing and God could be saying something else. People around me could be, the world could be saying one thing and God is saying something else. Let me tell you something. God has got to be the final authority in your life. The hospital, the doctor bills, your finances, everything else can be screaming at you, but there's got to be someone, not something, someone that has final authority in your life. And it has to be the Word of God. It needs to be the Word of God. But did you see my finances? What does the Scripture say? Have you seen my marriage? What does the Scripture say? Have you seen my children? What does the Scripture say? Sorry, children. I know, I forget I'm in a... Sorry, I forget sometimes where I'm at. Anyway, what does the Scripture say? Who has final authority in your life? And Paul is appealing to them. It's got to be on authority. And then he does this. The second one he goes into is evidence. How do you know that? Because of Scripture. Let's go back. Verse 5. And he said this. This is the evidence that he's telling them. He feels authority and here's evidence. Verse 5. And that he was seen by Caiaphas and by the 12. And after that, he was seen with 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater remained part of the present, but some had fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James and all the other apostles. And verse 8. And last of all, he was seen by me also. So he appeals to them about authority. Then he goes to them about evidence. This is the evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead. How do you know? People saw him. Right? You take the witness stand, you're supposed to get up there and say, Mr. McCray, you were there. Tell me what you have seen and heard. I saw him. I looked in the tomb, and Your Honor, and he wasn't there. But you know they laid him in the tomb. I know. But I looked in there, and he was gone. That's why I love sometimes when the news cameras are going to some of these towns and something happened and they find these people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know where I'm finna go. Y'all know where I'm finna go. And they find the one. I don't know how they find them. They be like, oh, we found somebody. We got one. And they go, ma'am, sir, can you tell us what happened? They were like, whoo, wow. I'll tell you what, one time they came and I was, and then, whoo, bam. And then, now I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where they find these people. You don't even know what they just said. Like, can you give a description? All I know is he has some pretty red shoes on, and then all of a sudden he came, and then all of a sudden, I'm telling you what, and it's, woo! It was like that first time Vanessa took me to my first NASCAR race. Black people don't necessarily go to the NASCAR race. Walked up in Texas Motor Speedway, and I was scared already. All of a sudden, a dude walked up to me and went, woo! And then walked off. Guess I'm finna have a good time. That was his explanation of what's about to happen. Woo! So the truth is that you're supposed to stand what you have heard, what you have seen. And they said, we've not seen, he's not, we know. We saw him be nailed to the cross. Not only did we see him be nailed to the cross, they pierced him in his side and blood and water flowed out. Blood came running down. Not only that, we saw his back. We saw the beating. We saw the bruises. We saw the nails in his feet. We saw the nails in his hand. We saw all these things. And then when they pierced him in his side, they broke the bones of the thieves to the left and to the right and broke those. And then all of a sudden, they pulled him down. And then they wrapped, and there was a, he was in a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, borrowed tomb. They put him in a tomb, sealed the door, and we saw them put him in the tomb. But then, sir, ma'am, this morning, we went to the tomb. He ain't there. He gone. He gone. It's a southern thing. He gone. He is not there. And that's the evidence that they said he's not there. And then finally he appeals to the logic. The logic is, then he goes into the logic, then he dives into the message. He says, now if Christ is not, this is verse 12, if Christ has not preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. He goes, how can you say this? He appeals to them with logic. Remember, authority, evidence, and logic. He goes, how can you say that he's not risen from the dead? Then he's saying this, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then why are we here? Why are we meeting? Why the fact are you here? Why are you calling yourself a Christian if Christ is not being raised from the dead? Here's the truth. All of your sins were nailed to the cross of Christ. Listen, all of your sins have been nailed on the cross with Christ. I'm going to say it again. All of your sins have been nailed on the cross with Christ. Not in part, but the whole. All of them. Not only that, this gets good. It gets good. Not only that, but all of your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins were nailed on the cross with Christ. And he has covered them all. Every single one of them. When I was a kid, I was like, the Bible says you're supposed to confess your sins, and he was faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I'm like, but what if I forget one? What if I forget one of the sins and I didn't confess it? Then I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going straight to hell with gasoline draw. That's not funny. With gasoline. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm going straight to hell with gasoline draws on. I'm going straight to hell on a grease pole. I'm going straight. And so I'm not going to make it. You laughing, but some of y'all wouldn't make it either. Because then what if I forget one of them? I forgot one sin that I didn't commit, that I didn't confess. I didn't make it. But here's the truth. Later on, Mr. Seth in the Assembly of God Church, he prayed a prayer. And I was like, that's it? He goes, Lord, I confess sins knowingly and unknowingly, Lord. I'm like, that's it. I'll just pray that prayer. But then I thought about it as I got older. Now, if he paid for all of my sins and all of them were nailed to the cross, if that's the truth, and it's really the truth, then it doesn't matter if I'll confess them. I'll confess my faults one to another. The Bible says that so that I can be healed. But the truth is, if he paid for all of my sins, then all of them, then the truth is that he paid for all of them. Jesus paid it all. Whether I confess them or not, they're paid for. Whether I know them or not, they're paid for. Whether I remember them or not, they're paid for. Not only if I remember them, but he says, I don't remember them because I've taken your sins from you. I've blotted out all your transgressions. I've removed the sin from you. Though my sin be as crimson, he has made us and washed us white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Either he's paid for it or he's not. I'm telling you what, I choose to believe that my Jesus paid for every single one of my sins, and I am justified by faith. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I am washed in the blood. I am cleansed. I am washed, and I know what? I am justified. Just if I've never sinned before, because he has washed me and he has cleansed me, and I am walking in the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Because of what he has done. So, he paid for it all. Say, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And I love that. So, real quick, because I only got a few minutes left. Then Paul goes into 7 points. And we're going to go over them real quick. He said, if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, verse 14 says this, if Jesus hadn't been raised from, then preaching is empty. That means that nothing I'm talking about today means anything. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, my preaching is empty. Number two, if my preaching is, this is verse 14, you can look it up. Verse 14, if my preaching is empty, if the preaching is empty, then your faith is empty. Same verse, verse 14. And then if your faith is empty, then we are being found false witnesses of God. That's in verse 15. And if we've been found false witnesses of God, then also our faith is futile. That's in verse 17. Number five, if our faith is futile, and he didn't come out of the tomb, he wasn't raised from the dead, then it also says that we're still in our sins. You're still in your sins if he didn't come out of the tomb. That's number five. Number six, then if we're still in our sins, then verse 18 says, all those who have fallen asleep before us have perished. They're gone. That's it. Some religions believe that that's all this life is. And then verse number seven, if that's all there is, then we are pitiful. Our faith is pitiful. This meeting is pitiful. I'm pitiful. Y'all pitiful. Everybody pitiful. So Paul says this. As a preacher, I can see Paul appealing to their mind and their intellect. But then if you go back and read the scriptures, this is what he says. But he was raised from the dead. He says it. He goes, he was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. He did come out of the tomb. If he did come out of the tomb, then he goes back and addresses it and said, if he did come out of the tomb, then the fact, if that's true, if it's true that Jesus came out of the tomb and the tomb is empty and all power and all dominion and all might has been given to him, if that is true, then the preaching of the gospel is full and it's not empty. How do you know that, Paul? Because Paul was the one who said that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation. And then he said, not only is it a power of God unto salvation, then he says that if the preaching is full, then all of a sudden you need to know that your faith is full, because faith comes by and hearing by. And if you preach the word of God with boldness and zeal, then the fact is going to come that the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ will cause people to come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. They will hear the gospel. How are they going to hear the gospel without a preacher? Somebody got to tell them. Go tell it on them. Whatever it is you got to do to preach the gospel so that faith can be full and the fullness of faith can come and it's not empty. Not only that, we're not false witnesses of God, because the Bible says in Acts 1:8 that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. And so my testimony is true. The witness that I have is in Jesus. And if I have the witness of Jesus, being able to be witnesses of him, to him, and tell people about him, then that means that my faith is full and preaching is full and that God is who he says he is. And then my faith is not futile. It is not the end. My faith grows. My faith grows because I walk with him day by day. He walks with me. And whatever it is, I'm walking with him. And I know that my faith is full because I'm walking with Christ hand in hand. And not only that, I'm not still in my sins. My sins have been washed away. I'm no longer in my sins. My sins don't control me, because he defeated sin. He defeated and gave us power to defeat sin as well. Amen. So the preaching is not empty. Faith is not empty. And not only that, I'm not a false witness. My faith is full. I'm not still in my sins. And all those who have gone before, Paul said this, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So when I go, will you come to my funeral? Don't you come and be like, well, that's the end. Because I'm telling you what, well, I'm going to be up there with Jesus. I don't know. When you get there, you may not be in my same gated community that I'm going to be in. You may not be in my gated neighborhood that I'm going to be in. You may not be, I don't know what mansion. I don't know. I'm Kevin. Maybe I'll come see you. But the truth is, when I die, I know that I will see my Savior face to face. And I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that I'm going to see him. I'm telling you, they're going to be gone. They're going to be like, listen, I told Vanessa, like, listen, she goes, do you want me to revive you? No, you go ahead and put a pillow over my head and go on and just go and get me on out of here. You know what I'm saying? Don't resuscitate. You know what I'm saying? Get a brother on. I'm be like, you know what I'm saying? Jesus. But I said, every couple of times I was going to send you to see him. You know what I'm saying? I was going to expedite the process. You know what I'm saying? We had some family members we were talking to about insurance the other day. Now I'm nervous every time I get around stairs and Vanessa around. I'm like, I'm just kidding. Anyway, some insurance, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much? That's what was funny. When I got shot, and I asked Vanessa, I said, honey, when I got shot, what emotions came over you? What's the first thing that came to your mind? She was like, does that Negro have life insurance? I don't know. I want to know if he have life insurance. And I was like, what was the next thing that came to your mind? Like, tell me the next thought that you had, you know. Did you my baby? She's like, like a fly when it lands on food. You know, I'm just kidding. My wife's not like that. She loves me. Anyway, the truth is that I'm gone. Then people have gone before. That means that my grandma Mabel, she up there right now. That means that all the people, all the saints that I know, they up there right now rejoicing with the Lord, because this is not the end. It is not the end. And I'm not pitiful. You're not pitiful, because Jesus was raised from the dead. All power, all dominion, all might was given to him. I'm telling you what, that's why sometimes, I know y'all think y'all did a little, sometimes when I see the little Jesus that you guys paint, you know, it's the Jesus with the blue eyes and the white Jesus, you know what I'm saying? You know he was Middle Eastern, you know he had a tan, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know that. So I picture him sometimes just busting the tomb right open and coming out just like, here I am, baby, here I am. All power and I'm just believing. I'm just when I see him and when I experience him, I just know it's like that's my Savior. And he came out of that tomb. And this is the final victory. Going down to verse 50. I didn't get a chance to do this first service, but I'm gonna get to do it here before I close. Verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, Paul put a crescendo at the end of his message. I'm telling you, man, I think Paul was black. Anyway, so he said, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. This is in the same chapter, by the way. Doesn't it do something to you right there? He said, not all of us going to sleep. Not all of us going to sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Not only that, he has defeated death, and it, where is your sting? Where is your victory? For those that are in Christ, there is hope for us. We don't live like everybody else, that when I die, it's over, because I'm telling you what, it's not over for us, because we know in whom we have believed, that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day, because he lives.